in church, the next time I come, I'll play the guitar with you. And Danny sings. He's also a psychologist. Most are full-time taking care of me, right? But she's not taking care of me. She's got her own clinic in our community. We live in the state of Mexico, a very rural area, about 2.5 hour drive from Mexico City, surrounded by chickens and donkeys, our neighbors. But you know that I run an organization called World Access Project, where I'm going to talk a little bit more about, which started right in this room many years ago. I just want to, instead of talking about me, I just want to share a little message with you guys, because I think that's more important than hearing more about my life. Can you hear me okay, everybody? Okay. Try it again.
He's going to adjust the volume.
How's that now? Everybody can hear me better?
Yeah.
Okay, great. I want to share a couple stories with you. You're all old enough in this room to know who Al Capone was, right? Al Capone was basically owned Chicago in the 20s. He wasn't famous for doing anything good, for anything heroic, but he was notorious for being entangled in everything bad, from booze to prostitution to murder. Probably one of the most famous gangsters in U.S. history. Everybody knows who he was, right? Well, one of the things you might not know is that he had an attorney. Recovering attorney, not retiring. I'm a recovering attorney. He had an attorney named Easy Eddie. And obviously, Easy Eddie was a great attorney because he kept Al Capone out of jail for many, many years. And Al Capone treated Easy Eddie very well. He wasn't related to you, Ed, was he? Maybe. So he had his own mansion, took up a city block in Chicago. He was treated very well. He had his own chauffeur, his own limousine, everything that he wanted. He was treated very well. And Eddie had a huge soft spot. The apple of his eye was his son. He loved his son dearly, and he wanted to make sure that his son had a great life. He had all the clothes, all the cars, all the great education. But there's one thing that he couldn't give his son, and that was a good reputation. Because obviously, with what he did, Eddie didn't have a very good reputation. And despite his involvement with Al Capone and organized crime, Eddie tried to teach his son well, from right to wrong. But he realized that everything he was telling him, he was living exactly the opposite. Sometimes as Christians, we do the same, right? We preach, but we don't really live it out. As he got older in age, Eddie decided to change his life so that his son would have a better life, and he decided to turn Al Capone in. He testified in court, and Al Capone went to prison based on his testimony. I'm sorry, you might hear Jamie talking up here. Basically, he's translating for my wife. He's not being rude. He wanted his son to be a better man than he was. So he used all his wealth, all his influence to do the two things that he couldn't give his son. He changed the things around. So Al Capone went to prison and he gave a good message to his son. And you may know the story. Within a year, Easy Eddie's life ended. On a quiet Chicago street, he was shot down at 46 years old. But in his eyes, he had given his son the greatest gift he had to offer. As they found his body, they removed a rosary, a crucifix, a religious medallion, and a poem. And this is what the poem said. The clock of life is wound just once, and no man has the power to tell the clock when the hands will stop at a late or an early hour. Now, only the time is based on the clock. So live, love, and work with all your will. Place no faith in time, for the clock may soon be still. I want to tell you one other story. It's about the first naval recipient of the Medal of Honor. Any veterans here? I served in the Air Force for 4 years, one of the best forming years of my life. It's about a guy called Butch O'Hare, a second lieutenant in World War II, a fighter pilot assigned to the aircraft carrier Lexington in the South Pacific. This day, his squadron was sent on a mission. They were airborne, and Eddie looked at his fuel gauge, and he could see that they didn't fill up his tank all the way. He checked with his squadron leader, knowing that he wasn't going to be able to do the mission and make it home. And his squadron leader told him to return back to the carrier. On his way back, something happened that was incredibly, that turned his blood cold. He ran into a Japanese fleet of fighters. They were headed toward his ship. He couldn't get back to his squadron and get them to come back and fight against these Japanese. And his radio wasn't good enough to contact the ship. So he decided to take on the squadron on his own. He attacked from behind, used all his guns, and he shot down a lot of planes. When he ran out of bullets, he started attacking them with his own plane. Little by little, he destroyed enough planes that the squadron took off. He laid aside all thoughts about what might happen to him. And when it was over, he was completely exhausted. He got back to the plane, and there was a camera on the front of his plane that showed the ship what had happened. It showed that the extent of his daring attempt to protect the fleet, and because of what he did on that day, February 20th, 1942, Butch O'Hare became the Navy's first World War II ace and won the first Medal of Honor. Any of you heard the name O'Hare?
Airport.
Airport in Chicago, named after him. So the next time you're there, between Terminal 1 and 2, is a statue of Butch O'Hare. So why would I tell you these two stories so different? Because Butch O'Hare was Easy Eddie's son. The story of Easy Eddie reminds us of reformation, transformation like the Bible does, reminds us of sacrifice that the father gave up for his son. The man who had it all, but got it all the wrong way and realized that his life had to change. A man who had great love for his son, knowing that he would sacrifice his life for his son. That was the life of Easy Eddie. And reminds us of 1 John 3:16 and 18. It says, "We know love by this, that he who laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, and chooses to close his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or with tongue, but in deed and in truth." And then the Butch of Commander O'Hare, Butch O'Hare, reminds us also of the life of Christ. Butch was completely committed to serve his country, committed to fulfilling his purpose as a military aviator, a man unstoppable in his goals, just like Jesus Christ, a man who died eventually as a naval pilot, fulfilling his purpose and saving the life of others at the same time. John 15:13 says, "Greater love." What's the rest? "Greater love hath no man than give up his life for his son." Like many of you, I spent 4 years in the U.S. Air Force. And because of that, I love hearing these stories of life-changing experience like Easy Eddie. Stories of valor, sacrifice, heroism. Especially stories like Butch. He made the ultimate sacrifice, just as our Savior did. As a disabled veteran, I personally cry Every time I hear our national anthem sung, knowing that others have given their life. These stories are touching and powerful, but they're nothing compared to what our Savior Jesus Christ did. Just thinking about what Jesus did should make us cry, knowing, realizing that he suffered in agonizing pain. He sacrificed his life to give you and me eternal life, the opportunity to spend eternity in heaven with him. You've heard a million times, right? The plan of salvation. The question is, how do we live our lives and how does that plan of salvation affect us personally? It was right here. Well, I was thinking about it. I was a member of this group from 1984 to 2001. When I joined, I was an attorney. I was focused on my career. I was in this room every Friday with you guys, listening to a message. And I was wondering how many people of you would remember the pastor from Lions, Sam, who shared an incredible message that I still remember to this day. The main thing is to keep the main thing, the main thing. That was Sam's message. And that literally changed my life. And you know what I'm talking about when I say the main thing, right? Keep Jesus Christ the main thing in your life. Well, you know the story. In 1997, Sam invited me to go to Mexico with him and another pastor as they were supporting an ex-hacienda built by the Spaniards more than 300 years ago now. I was asked to take a wheelchair with me. And I'm thinking, why? Every American that needs a wheelchair in this country, or a cane or a walker or anything else, has it, right? We have insurance, or you can buy one used. Everybody has it. Well, I want to share this short video. It's about 4.5 minutes. You might remember, but this is kind of the result of me taking that wheelchair to Mexico with Sam. Gene, would you show up, please?
Mice right here.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to show you something right now.
Charity is a beautiful thing. It is powerful, magnificent, and amazing the way it can grab hold of us.
This was in 2011.
That happened in the hills of Toluca, Mexico. Rita was there to deliver a wheelchair to a
70-year-old in Los Angeles.
She had polio. She's never walked a step in her life. That morning, let his mother carry her into the chapel, and Rita wheeled her out. That single act of kindness gave her the chance to live a fuller life. Letty was able to work, get married, and have children. Richard knew because of his own accident how valuable that independence was and that just one wheelchair wasn't enough. So he started the World Access Project. He has provided hundreds of people with wheelchairs, crutches, and walkers. They can move through life because charity is a beautiful thing.
We're all getting younger, right?
In 1997, I was living in Colorado, and a friend of mine who was a pastor invited me to come to this area, to a little town called Dolores Hidalgo. I didn't speak any Spanish, and they asked me if I could come down and bring one wheelchair with me to maybe give away to somebody. Now, in a room about the size of this warehouse, and people started crawling in on their hands and knees. People were pushed in wheelbarrows. People using branches of trees for crutches. And I just decided somebody needs to come down here and take wheelchair off. And so I started coming down here once a year and started giving away wheelchairs. The people that work with us most of the time are people that have received wheelchairs or people that have disabilities. And so I'm blessed to be able to give them a job. And the thing that really helps is that they have a compassion for the people that they give the wheelchairs to.
Hay muchas personas que llegan con habilidades, nunca han visto una silla, nunca han visto más de allá de sus paredes, y cuando les ayudamos, es una satisfacción personal.
About 5 years ago, I came to the realization that if I just went there once a year and never went again, who would do the follow-up? What happens when the wheelchair breaks? So 5 years ago, my wife and I decided to focus on one country. Many of the people come here to our warehouse. Sometimes we go to the very rural communities and we give them the equipment right where they live. The person we're going to see today on his paperwork, it doesn't say what his disability is, but we know that he's 32 years old. He can crawl.
Ya nació con piernas dañadas. Nació con piernas pegadas. Es toda la espinilla de ambos pies.
When we go to someone's house to get a wheelchair, we try to make it a great experience for them, not just giving them a gift, but getting to know them, getting to know their families. I think within a week, it'll be really good in this chair. We want to teach people to be independent, to be self-confident. We want to teach them to be able to live the life that you and I would normally be able to live in the United States without even thinking about it. We teach them art, we teach them music, we teach them all kinds of things, kind of like having family.
I would say the heartbeat of this organization is the passion that all of us have to make a difference in the lives of other people.
When I broke my back 35 years ago, I thought my life was over, but I have learned that this wheelchair is an opportunity to make a difference. There is nothing better than to serve God and help others. For those of you out there who have a disability, never give up. And for everyone, I encourage you to help others. God can use all of us. Y mis amigos en México, ándale, vamos!
Actually, I want to thank you guys for that.
My name is Jim Richards. I'm a former officer in CIA, Department of Defense.
It was your encouragement. A lot of the guys aren't here right now. Daryl Ball, Bill Arnold, many names, but some are here. You know, you guys have been a great inspiration. I've been in touch with you over the years, and thank you for your support. You know, you look at the life of Eddie, you look at the life of Butch O'Hare, you look at the life of Richard St. Denis. What it is about transformation, it's about restoration. God is in the life-changing business. You may have heard this quote before. Mark Twain once said, the two most important days in your life are the day you're born and the day you figure out why. That day I gave Letty her very first wheelchair, I figured out my life purpose was not to be an attorney in Boulder, Colorado. It was to give away wheelchairs. You know, you think about our life doesn't always turn about the way we plan to. And it was never my life's plan or expectation to spend about 47 years now in a wheelchair, to live in what we would call impoverished Mexico. A 6-hour drive to the closest ocean. Everybody moves to Mexico for the ocean, right? It was 6 hours away. Because of my disability now, I spent more than 2 years of my life in the hospital. Never planned any of that. But if you offered, say, Rich, I'd like to pray for you. I'd like to, for God to heal you so you could walk again. I'd say, thank you very much, but I think God has another purpose for my life. Living in Mexico now for 15 years, I've donated more than 15,000 wheelchairs with other people. People that otherwise would be trapped in their house because they wouldn't be able to go anywhere. They wouldn't have the mobility. And God has a plan for your life. You know, you might think, well, I'm older. What am I going to do? But never too late. The first time I went to Mexico was 43 years old. And I know you guys went over than 43, but it doesn't matter. The question is, what is God's calling on your life? We're probably not going to live as old as Abraham did, but God's got a plan for your life too. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Ephesians 2:10. We are God's workmanship, God's handiwork, created in Christ created in Jesus Christ to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. That means every single one of us, God's got a plan for our life, which he planned for us to do in advance. So the question, one of the best things that I found in my life was knowing that God called me to donate wheelchairs in Mexico. Life got real easy. No more life in the United States. That's what God called me to do. Maybe your calling is to come with me and donate wheelchairs in Mexico. Maybe for a week, maybe for a longer period of time, but God's got a plan for your life too. Maybe helping widows clean their house. Look at your abilities. What are you good at? Look at your passion. What's the desire of your heart? And that's how you find out what God's plan is for your life. But think beyond your plan. The other verse that I want to share with you today is Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we think or ask, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory to all generations forever and ever. Amen. I said, look at your abilities and your talents, but look at God. You can take that accordion anywhere, right? You got a mission. There's all kinds of things you could do with your life. Maybe you're really good at cleaning or fixing, Rock. I know you're a really good fixer, right? I can think of all the things you can come down and fix in my house. But we need to, what's the secret? What's the secret to being a Christian? Faith without works is what?
Yeah.
We all know that verse. The question, what are we doing with our faith? You know, when I was younger, I used to wake up every morning and say, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And I wake up and say, no, I need a cup of coffee first. You know, the main thing is to put Jesus Christ first in our lives, and he will give you a blessing in your life. I just want to share with you a couple of things. Ed mentioned Puerto Vallarta. We stay in a five-star resort. I call it a five-star resort, a beautiful hotel right on the ocean. And we donate wheelchairs for 3 days. And then we teach them how to use their wheelchairs. If anybody would like to come down, love to have you. Basically, the cost is $100 a day. I don't know where you can go on vacation anywhere for $100 a day. We'd love to have you help us help them. Just this past weekend, we were in a city. We donated 50 wheelchairs to kids with severe disabilities. You know, and it doesn't just change the life of people who get them, but parents now don't carry their kids around. They get a wheelchair to move them around. People with more ability to get to go out and play sports. But it's a life-changing experience, not only for them, but for us. We're also in the process of building our own warehouse. For the last 15 years, we've been relying on the local government to give us a place where we donate wheelchairs. Well, every 3 years, the local government changes. And so we could use our own permanent place. And I was just talking to Doug. I think the cost is around $150,000, $250,000. Even $5 would help to get it started in the right direction. And I just finished my first book. Everybody's always said, you know, Rich, you've done so many things that have happened to you in your life. You should write a book. Well, I don't have a good enough memory to remember what happened. So I wrote a book of devotions. It's called Breaking Barriers, How God Can Turn Our Mess into His Message. It should be out on Amazon here by the end of next month. I'll let you know, Ed, and you can let everybody else know. But what's our job, right? Put our faith into action, to share with others, help some old lady go across the street, say hello to somebody maybe hasn't said hello a long time. That's our job as Christians. And if we get the opportunity, share God's love. My favorite thing to do now is we have a community come, 20 people receive wheelchairs. And when they're done, I said, you know what? You guys have disabilities. Well, we all have disabilities. We can't get from here to there without a, a wheelchair, right? Well, you who think you don't have a disability can't get from here to heaven without Jesus Christ. We all need Jesus Christ to get to heaven, and we can share that message with everybody. And I'm telling you, 90 to 100% of everyone, the people from the local governments, accept Christ as their Savior. And it would be a really great ministry if I gave away wheelchairs every day, right? But we need to share. We don't want them pushing their wheelchairs into hell, right? We want them flying into heaven. So I thank you guys for the opportunity to share, for the opportunity to help me start this ministry more than 15 years ago. And it's great to see everybody. God bless. Thank you.
Thank you.